Hey.
Hi, welcome back to Ethnically Ambiguous. I'm Anna.
And I'm Shireen.
And this week,
we are going to talk about
Oprah. Just kidding. This week we talk about
an inflatable chicken.
And we're talking about the Afghan women hoopsters, basically women in wheelchairs who play basketball.
With hijabs.
Yes.
It's pretty dope. We also talk about an all-girl Muslim metal band in Indonesia.
It's pretty dope. And we're going to talk about why Israel has banned Al Jazeera and how that ties into our favorite country, Saudi Arabia.
And we also revisit what the fuck is going on in Qatar.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little about what's going on this week in Iran and how Saudi Arabia supports extremism. What an exciting week.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Of course, what's going on in Syria, but more me crying than anything else.
Right.
So yeah, stay tuned. Lots of fun ahead.
Yes, and we're going to talk about a certain doctor who's doing really great things at the end. We're going to give him some shout outs. All right, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi. We're back. Wow, what a beautiful intro again by Brendy Small.
Are we going to say this every time?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
I have to shout him out every time because he did something so nice for us.
That's very true, but it's going to sound like the same episode every time when we're like,
it
wow.
It is the same episode. The Middle East is one whole episode in itself.
Okay. This is weird. I can't hear myself. We don't have headphones on this time, so usually I can hear my voice talking.
We're in like a really sexy dark lounge where
this is the room where we got where Justin agreed to let us be on Feral.
All right. So we're back. It's a really exciting week in the Middle East.
Is it though?
No, it's not.
We're all going to die.
I just got back from Europe.
Yeah, Anna, every episode we're going to talk about where Anna's been. And this time, Anna was in Berlin.
There was no
Portugal
situation.
But she was on a boat again. I just see that Instagram.
Yeah, I was on a dinghy. Let's be real. I did go back on a boat,
but
I was on a dinghy. It wasn't a real boat. There was no official captain, so I felt very comfortable that there was no one to tell me any rules.
Does that make an official boat if there's a captain?
Well, what I'm saying is I was more comfortable going on this dinghy/boat because there was no captain and I didn't feel like anyone would hold me hostage. Also, we were only in a canal and not an ocean.
That's very romantic. Was it romantic?
It wasn't. It was like 9 people in a dinghy and it was too many people in that dinghy. It was a 5-person dinghy and we had like almost 10 people on it.
Anyways, how was your trip?
It was okay.
You were just traveling to these beautiful places and you come back and I'm like working my ass off over here in this fucking city and you're like, I'm all right. No, you're a globetrotter and I'm jealous.
Yeah, and that's your personal problem and
okay, well,
I live a wonderful life.
So yeah, Anna's back now and we're going to talk about things and catch up on life. Real talk, we're both really busy in this episode.
This episode's about to be real shaky.
It's going to be shaky, but that's what life is. You know, today I cut my finger on a pair of scissors because I was opening a box. And it really made me think
it's
about...
It's a true metaphor for life.
I think, like, the frailty of our skin and how permeable, like, how easy we cut ourselves. Like, just one little slice of that scissor and I was bleeding so much. And that, just like we're so frail as humans, this episode is so frail.
Cool. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry,
in our,
I'm going through a lot right now.
Oh fuck my life. Okay.
Let's just.
I want to give some shout outs to some of our fucking awesome people that tweet at us.
Oh my god, we were getting really cool feedback.
Yeah.
Today, my best friend texted me that he was lolling at work because he was listening to us talk about...
Now, I'm sorry, what is lolling?
Oh my god. LOL-ing. Do I have to say the LOL every time? People don't... Wait, you say lolling?
No, not really.
You say LOL out loud.
I have before. I've caught myself instead of laughing saying LOL out loud and then
I
being
say,
like, oh my God.
I say lol.
Anyway, I want to shout out Samar. I think that's your name. I'm so sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
Samar.
At Sumabis.
Samar, if it's Arab, it means summer.
Sure. Well, anyway, I want to shout you out. You're super dope. Thanks for always tweeting at us. You're so cool.
We have some really cool fans out there. You guys are so great.
Here's another person whose name I don't know because it's not clear on Twitter, but you go by Non-Wells.
Noel, I think.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, at subject plus verb. A real grammar girl. I like that.
Someone likes to write things.
I like some grammar.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling us a goddamn delight.
Yeah.
I've never been described that way.
Me either. It feels kind of cool.
That's
like
awesome.
It could be at a buffet.
Another shout out to Noel at YFAOFM. You're always like tweeting us in your like feed, listening to us.
Yeah.
That's super dope.
You're
Thank
always
you.
Recommending us, and that's really. But I don't know how that's like. It's very surreal for me to have that happen. So thanks for listening and liking.
Thanks for existing, and I want to shout out Soraya.
Oh yeah.
She's Instagram buddy. I've never met her in person, but apparently Shireen just met her.
Yeah, so we've only seen each other on Instagram, on social media, and I'm working on this commercial right now, and we were at this casting agency a couple days ago.
So Hollywood.
I know, I hate myself right now.
Industry, baby. Hashtag industry.
And I'm like walking from the bathroom and I just see her from across the hall. We both haven't met each other in person. But we both recognize each other's faces just by social media. And we like look at each other and we like point and we're like, is that? Mm-mm. And then she heard my voice apparently and she knew it was me. And I was like, yeah, it's me. And we like met in person and she's like in a band and the band's really, really great actually. And I want to have her on.
Yeah. Soraya Sebgati.
Yeah.
Sebgati. Did I say that right? Soraya Sebgati.
I think that's right.
That's my Persian accent.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the love. We're going to have... She apparently was asked to audition for Jasmine. We're going to have her come on.
She talked to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to have her come on and talk about it in the future.
Disney asked her to be Jasmine, and she didn't go through with it, and I would love to know all the juicy details.
Also, someone tweeted us that we were kind of being haters on Indian people.
They did?
Yeah, because they were like, it's not fair that you... Like, we've had the same problem with representation our whole lives, too, and we're still technically brown, so, like, why can't you give us Jasmine? And honestly, it's a valid point.
No, it's not.
Oh,
no, it's not. Okay, because Jasmine was supposed to be the failsafe.
You heard it here. Shireen hates Indian people.
I don't hate Indian people, but Aladdin was our movie, all right?
Agrabah's not a real place.
But it's
It can't be our movie. Also, I ain't Arab, so it's your movie now. Here's the thing. I stand with all Indians. Shireen.
Oh my God. Look, it's like giving Mulan to the Japanese. Okay? They look similar, but it's a fucking Chinese fucking story. Okay? It's not the same thing. Maybe that's a bad metaphor, but you know what?
I don't fully remember the story of Mulan. Is it Chinese?
It's definitely Chinese.
It's definitely not Japanese.
If there was, like, we're not, like, I don't know. That makes no sense to me. I'm not going to give you someone that, like, I was, like, it was the one Arab reference of my childhood. I'm not going to give it away to someone that's not actually Arab. So, whatever. You can hate me, but.
Shit is real on this podcast.
We didn't take Slumdog
Brown
Millionaire.
Versus Brown. That's pretty cool. Wait, what?
I'm not versus anybody.
Well, I didn't want Slumdog Millionaire, okay?
Okay, they could have it.
Can we cut all of this out? All right.
You brought it up.
I'm just trying to create conversations with our followers on Twitter.
Okay, but there's no hate there, all right? I don't want there to be hate, but when you're not represented, you want to be represented, and it's just a bummer when you're not. And for a lot of girls, like, Jasmine was the one person that they related to growing up, and again, in the last episode, I was the fucking tiger. I don't fucking care about Jasmine.
So, Raja?
I was Raja. I was the animal sidekick. So it's not even about the idea of Jasmine. It's more about the fact that I can't even name an Arab American actress out there.
Shireen is from Agrabah. And she's quite offended by this whole situation.
No, but I genuinely can't even name an Arab American or British Arab actress. Like, I don't know anybody.
Let's Google Arab actresses and see if anything comes up. I bet it's going to say Scarlett Johansson. Wow. Okay, we can't search anything. I do want to make it very clear that my armpits smell terrible.
I have a hat in front of me because I need to wash my hair so bad, but I'm not wearing it because I'm so comfortable.
Let's get into this fucking episode. Okay.
Cut all that out.
Shireen wants to talk about the inflatable chicken resembling Trump near the White House.
Okay, I can't look at those photos without laughing. Like, someone paid $1,300 for a giant inflatable chicken, and they put it in front of the White House as a protest because they're calling Trump a chicken for not releasing his taxes and standing up to Putin. And that's all fair or whatever. The protest is funny, or not funny, valid. But the chicken is hilarious, and I can't look at it. There was a newscast that literally just was on the chicken for a whole hour, just waiting for something to happen. Just the chicken. It's a giant chicken in front of the White House. That's our life right now. That's a real headline that I read, and I clicked, and it was real news.
It is quite riveting.
That's the one thing I need to say about that. Cool. Made my day yesterday.
I have zero thoughts on it.
Okay, great. Let's move on.
Alrighty. Let's move on. So, I don't know if this was kind of viral, but the Washington Post put it out there where, like, an anti-immigrant group mistook empty bus seats for women wearing burkas.
A Norwegian anti-immigrant group. It's called Fatherland First.
Or Fedralandet Vikatissime.
Translation, Fatherland First.
I don't know what I just said.
They protested this picture about, for, like, they were protesting immigrants, and there was a picture of empty bus seats, but they thought it was six women wearing burkas, and they were saying that
honestly, it makes no sense to me, because if you actually look at the photo, like, where are their legs then? They don't have legs?
So the person from that anti-immigrant group posted the photo, and it said, "What do people think of this? This looks really scary. It should be banned. You can never know what is under there or who. It could be terrorists with weapons. It's frightening and tragic." What the fuck? They're empty bus seats!
Also, where are their legs? I don't understand. Like, if you really look at the photo, like, there's clearly not people sitting in those seats.
It's ridiculous. But
look it up right now. If you're sitting in front of your computer, look it up. Google it.
Yeah.
And then tweet at us. But nothing mean.
We'll put the link of this article in the info for the podcast. So if you really want to know what this looks like, empty bus seats that made someone think it's frightening and tragic and just a sign of fatherland being taken away from us, then please click ahead.
Apparently they said it was a joke, but like...
But that was like after the fact someone called them out that it was empty bus seats. Like, it's easy to be like, "Oh, I was kidding," like, after you're called out on it being... Like,
I'm so curious, like, what are Norwegians doing out there? Not much, apparently.
The person that shared it said that he had to share it so people could see what's happening in the dark corners. My God.
Oh, anyway. God, what a boring world. Okay. Trump fired his Middle East advisor.
Yeah.
And that's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah.
Don't even care.
Just add,
because that guy really wanted to go after Iran, so it's kind of weird that Trump fired him.
But I mean, like, it just adds to a long list of people that Trump has fired, which is kind of funny, because it feels like we're like in a Black Mirror episode, because the person that had a show for firing people is now our president and firing people. So it's, I don't know, art imitates life and life imitates art, except for The Apprentice wasn't really art. It was trash, but you know what I mean.
I have to burp really badly.
I was wondering why that pause was so long. I was like, was that really a bad description of my thoughts?
Yeah, I don't really care about anything Trump-related that much, but...
I mean, I tried to block it out, but it just...
What's more interesting is that Vanity Fair put out this article that he's fired enough people to cast an entire series or entire season of Dancing with the Stars.
I love that so much.
Could you imagine it? Sean Spicer, who is actually considering going on Dancing with the Stars right now.
What?
Yes. And then, like,
Scaramucci. What is our world? Scaramucci would be funny.
Oh, he would be great. Also, I think he's a bit of a raging alcoholic, but that's just my thoughts.
I love that his wife divorced him after he started working for Trump, and now he's fired after, like, 10 days, and it's like, JK, I wonder if she's...
Yeah.
Any less gonna divorce him. Probably not. No,
he's probably one
back.
Of those, like, micro penis guys.
Oh, for sure. He yells a lot. So, but he was like really anti-Trump, like a couple years ago. There was like a video when he got when he joined Trump's team. Like all these videos came out of him like criticizing Trump, and it's like, I don't know. He's just a flip-flopper. Just wants attention.
I think he's a raging alcoholic.
Okay, yeah, that too.
But I think he needs help, and we're all sitting here like tweeting mean jokes about the mooch, and it's like, someone put him in a program. Okay.
Yeah, that our president too needs to like go in a program, meaning like retirement or like a senior home, but whatever.
Our sound guy, engineer Matthew, sent us this next article. Yeah, he goes by Matthew.
It is a weird spelling. Yeah.
From 538, aka the Nate Silver cult. Just kidding. I'm a fan. That American Muslims are a diverse group with changing views. And I didn't actually read this article. I'm sorry.
I mean, like, I'm glad.
I bookmarked it. But I was like, oh, it was okay.
I skimmed it. I will skim it. And I really
love. Here's the thing. I looked at it and then there were charts. And I was like, ooh, you are not going to get me to look at no charts right now.
I think the main point
also,
of
I'm
it,
living it. So I don't even need to read it.
Yeah. It's like.
That's something you forward to your white friends.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was going to say the same thing. Like, I want people to understand. Like,
Muslims, they're just like us.
Exactly. That was my line. I wrote that.
Yeah, no, I was just reading what you wrote.
No, but I mean, I'm glad this article exists, but like the fact that this headline is even something that people need to read is like really sad to me, because it is kind of reminding us that like Muslims are just like us. Like,
also, I just like
group with cheap
I imagine
views.
Like,
oh,
Nate Silver in a room being like, "All right, guys, we need more diverse articles in here. Enough of these stats on politics." And he's like, "Brown people are the new cool thing."
I'm not trying to like to criticize a good thing, because it is a good thing, and white people should read this. But it's more about how
white people who are listening, who are probably not even listening, because there's no way white people listen to this. You can find this article in our
info box of the podcast on feralaudio.com or on iTunes. Actually, not iTunes, just Feral Audio. But anyways, this article basically just brought up the fact that American Muslims are a demographic that like influence media, and they have like changing views just like any other demographic, whether it's Latinos or white people. So it's a good article and I recommend it for white people, but
if you're brown, you're probably literally living it.
I know, but it's just sad to me that has to be a headline or an article in the first place, because it's like, it's really like being like, oh, Muslims, they're just like us, like, don't be afraid. It's just like,
I'm telling you, someone in Nate Silver's like crew was like, guys, we're really white here. And they're like, well, stats are for white people. And then they wrote that article.
Well, I'm glad it exists, because Nate Silver.
Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, thanks.
You're a real champion, Nate, for us brown women.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Isn't it funny you said Hillary was going to win? Let's talk about that.
Nope. Move on.
So the next article is, there was a big win for Afghan women's wheelchair hoopsters.
I like this a lot. I like this
good.
So
I didn't
much.
Read this article, so. Shereen?
No. Well, give me a second.
Matt, we're going to need you to cut this out.
No. Okay, if you click on this article, the first thing you see is this, like, adorable picture, and I love it so much. It's just these hijabi women just in wheelchairs, like, so happy, and they're playing sports, and it's amazing, because all these women in this article is describing how they were so nervous about playing basketball in wheelchairs, also in public.
That's understandable.
And they used to be so nervous that they had, like, these opaque screens to conceal the court. And now that they're, like, actually doing so well, they've become more confident. And now their faces are all over, like, social media in Afghanistan. And it won its first championship at the 4th annual Bali Cup International Tournament in Indonesia. And
what? They got to go to Bali?
It's so cool. I'm just so happy. Because, first of all, I think a lot of people assume that, like, hijabi women can't even play sports, let alone, like, because it's like, oh, they can't show their skin. I guess they can't wear tennis shorts.
Well, that's why Nike made that
hijab
scarf. Sport hijab.
Yeah, sport hijab. Yeah. So
for all your
really
sporting Muslim
this.
Needs.
Everyone should click on that link and look how adorable they are. I just love this so much. And
I just had a very problematic thought where I was like, oh, should I pretend I'm in a wheelchair so I can go to Bali? But
nope, not. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we discussed this before you went through with that idea.
Matt, we're going to need you to cut that out.
No, leave that in. But yeah, these women who their ages are from 17 to 30. They I don't know.
Jesus, these tournaments are all in the dopest places.
I know, it's so cool, and I'm so proud of them, and I'm just so.
I'm about to go throw myself down a flight of chairs.
It takes confidence to play like regular basketball. Seriously, like I can barely throw anything, let alone like in a wheelchair. And these people are.
No, I just thought you were saying you could barely throw a wheelchair. I don't know why.
I probably can't throw a wheelchair. I have very little arm strength. I have very little arm strength. I can't even throw like a good basketball throw.
Sure. Shot.
Toss up. I don't know.
Like sports of the old toss up.
The basketball. Old toss up.
The old toss up.
But anyway, this just made me really happy, and it's just a really good step for Muslim women everywhere. Because you can play sports, and you can also be disabled and play sports. So not just for Muslim women, it's just for every person that is not well, like, or not able-bodied, is what I was trying to say. So yeah, yay! Also, something that really made me happy. This is something that I'm obsessed with, as well as the Afghani hoopsters. But there's an all-girl metal band in Indonesia. That
I did read this article.
The coolest
just
thing
recently
ever. It's on NPR. I heard it on the radio, and then I looked it up immediately when I got home. These three girls were introduced to metal by their music teacher in high school. And they fell in love with it, and they started learning metal. Like they're influenced.
What are they called? Bass Prot?
Yeah, Bass Prot is their name, and that name means noisy in the Sudanese language. That's their native tongue. And they're all from a very conservative rural part of. I hate that word. Rural.
Rural.
Am I saying a word?
Yeah, you're saying a word.
They're all from this very conservative country town part of Indonesia.
Country town.
Instead of that word that I can't say.
Who gave us a podcast?
But it's a very conservative place, and so that their loud music is very... It attracts a lot of attention. And
yeah, in a place where women are just supposed to be quiet.
And Indonesia is one of the...
It has
the most populous
Muslim community.
Yeah.
The biggest, highest Muslim community in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I learned about this also on the radio, but the president of Indonesia is apparently a huge metalhead. And so because of that, they're getting like a lot of like attention for the whole country. It's made up of these three girls. And they're all daughters of local farmers, and they grew up poor, and they attend one of these very small schools. And that was my mistake. They weren't introduced to metal by their music teacher. It was their middle school guidance counselor. So they're in middle school, and it was with their guidance counselor. And they're inspired by music. They say like Slipknot and Lamb of God and Rage Against the Machine. And it just makes me so happy.
I like the one quote where the girl's like, hijab is my identity, okay? Like, so punk.
Yeah.
So punk.
One of the girls says that she's emboldened and she's proud to be an inspiration to other women. And she's a different musician because I'm a woman and I play metal music and I'm wearing a hijab. Like, all those things make up her identity. And I think that's a really amazing notion. And I just love... Because people, I mean, metal music is, like, actually pretty great if you listen to good bands, and...
It's agree to disagree.
It's, like, really, like, it takes skill, dude. Like, the guitar and everything, like, it's, like, skillful.
Yeah, quick shout-out to Brendan Small, the man who made our That's the only person I'll listen to play metal. I don't know anything. So, our favorite... Okay, you know what? Before we get into Saudi Arabia, let's get into Israel, the new Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God.
So, Israel has decided they're shutting down Al Jazeera, our favorite news source.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why. Why? Well, tell me why, Anna.
Okay. So, they're shutting it down because Saudi Arabia wants to shut it down. Basically, the new crown prince... The new young crown forced prince... of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, who forced his way into ruling that fucking country.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Country. So, how do you even explain this? Saudi Arabia is
the worst.
Like, what?
The worst.
Yes. That goes without saying. So, okay, Saudi Arabia and Israel both hate Iran. So that's like what ties them together. Mm-hmm. They like fucking love to hate on Iran. Israel should give that land back. But
yeah,
moving on from that.
That's another episode entirely.
And yeah, this is the Israel episode that we're not ever going to air because it's going to be way too problematic is going to be lit.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to be on Feral for a little longer than four
episodes. So basically, Saudi Arabia believes Iran is the greatest threat to Gulf security. That's the Gulf of Gulf.
The Persian Gulf.
The Gulf of Gulf.
It's called the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, we own it, yet they seem to be real stressed about it. But anyway, so Netanyahu is basically doing the exact same thing by saying, like, Iran's not just threat to Gulf security, they're a threat to Israeli security. So they're basically like playing the same game as Saudi Arabia at this point.
Yeah, but Al Jazeera doesn't represent Iran. That's what makes me mad. Like, Al Jazeera is an amazing
news. No, but they like tell the truth, and all those countries don't care for that.
I'm just saying, like, I'm saying how absurd it is that they would block Al Jazeera because they're anti-Iran, when it's like, really, they're blocking just the truth from reaching their countries. Like, they'd rather censor the news, which is really upsetting.
Yeah, it makes no sense. They're just like trying to hide what they're doing. And Israel just recently beat a bunch of Palestinians to death at the protest.
For the last like 70
years.
For
the last like, so. Okay, sure, like every other day it happens.
God.
But what are you going to do? You know, you're just Israeli and you don't want to give their land back. But that's not saying, I mean, like, they're still like good Israeli people who believe that Palestine should have its own state.
Oh, no. My favorite people
And there are still Saudi Arabian people who don't believe in, like, insane, like, Wahhabism or whatever the fuck extremists.
There are good people everywhere. My favorite people are Israeli Jews that can think for themselves and know that, like, the state of Israel is doing a wrong thing. But
yeah, basically, like, it's all the government.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is the government bad?
Wait, is the government?
Our government?
The government is bad. We should write that down.
Someone write that down. Anyway, basically now Al Jazeera does not exist in Israel, and they took all the journalist badges away. I don't know what those things are. Passes?
Yeah, like passes.
What are those things that hang around their necks?
Media passes.
Sure. Those don't exist around their necks anymore.
So, yeah.
So I feel like to say fuck Israel and Saudi Arabia.
It's pretty good at this point. Like, that's a good summary of that.
Ugh, God.
Fuck them both.
All right, new segment. Or not new, but continuing segment. What the fuck is going on in Qatar? Not much. Still in the same shit. They are not moving.
Yeah, that's kind of upsetting, though, because
they are aggressively on the defensive right now.
Yeah. They're 2 months into the Saudi-led boycott, and no one's budging on either side. It's,
But at least, I mean, Israel shut down Al Jazeera, but Qatar won't do it, because Qatar is, like,
yeah, at least, because they're, like an Arab nation that
And I
want to
make it very clear, Saudi Arabia is like, oh, they support extremism. It's like every goddamn country in the Middle East supports extremism.
Yeah, because every fucking country in the Middle East is desperate at one point or another, and that's the only way they get shit done.
I don't actually support extremism, especially not white extremism that happens in this country.
Yeah.
That's ignored.
Well, I mean, those people have mental illnesses, Anna. If a white guy commits a crime, he has depression. Okay? If an Arab commits a crime, he's a terrorist. And if a black person commits a crime, he's a thug. Oh my gosh.
Okay, anyway.
But Qatar is still
Qatar supports
shit.
Extremism. There's actual proof of it. I remember last time I said, who knows what Qatar does? I was being flippant. They definitely support extremism. And they also have funded terrorism. I do realize sometimes when I listen back to this podcast how offensive I am.
You're not offensive. You're just real, Anna.
Who cares? It's not like, who else is left to offend, you know?
Yeah, you can't win everyone's hearts over, you know, like.
But who cares? Saudi people are bad. Saudi government, excuse
government,
me.
Government. PC police over here. I'm the person that defended micropenises, so.
Yeah, so anyway, Saudi Arabia says Qatar supports extremism, but just because they don't actually put money into terrorist groups does not mean. Excuse me, I had to burp.
Well, because, yeah, you don't.
So they don't directly fund terrorist organizations.
But they probably turn a blind eye, is what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, but they literally teach extremist standards to all their people. But, like, that whole, like, Wahhabi, Salafi belief system, that's, like, I don't even.
Is it taught in schools? Is that what you're saying?
It is taught. Well, yeah, of course it's taught in schools. Saudi Arabia, they teach you to be a bad person. But, like, they create a worldwide view that is intolerant and hostile to the West, and they promote a mindset that
it's
is like
us against them.
It's a susceptible mindset to rhetoric of violent Islamic groups and preachers, aka at least that's what the New York Times told me.
Yeah.
Okay, it's true.
It's us against them, and it's sad because that's
so just because they don't put direct. I mean, like, honestly, who knows where that Saudi money's going? Okay.
Are you being flippant again?
No, know exactly I don't know where the fuck that Saudi money's going. I don't trust it. But
going to Rihanna.
Oh, yeah, it's all going to Rihanna. It's going to, like, Rihanna's lifestyle
can
choices.
Can Rihanna stop the world war from happening?
Honestly, if anyone could,
if anyone
it would
could,
be
it's Rihanna.
Rihanna,
Rihanna
like, I made a really, like, poppy song that you could dance to. It's a little, like, Caribbean-esque,
nice
but it's
nations.
Like, yeah.
Go have a concert in, like, Mecca or some shit. Probably not.
No.
No.
Could not have a concert in Mecca. But there's this institution called the Islamic University of Medina, which its alumni... So they basically teach Wahhabi ideology there, which is, like, super sketch. And so their alumni include Abu Usama At-Tahabi, he goes to British mosques and promotes holy war and killing of gay men and apostates.
Jesus.
Apostates? Apostates? That's not a word I've ever said before. Okay. And then, like, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Faisal, he attended Imam Muhammad Ibn Saud Islamic University in Riyadh, and he advocates extermination of unbelievers.
Oh, shit.
Which is basically
that's
non-believers.
That's not good.
So, like, I don't know about you, but that sounds like you support some extremist-ass bullshit.
Yeah, that's not good.
Also, they,
I don't
like,
agree with that.
They're really into, like, distributing, like, texts that are, like, super intense and Wahhabi-ish shit.
Yeah, because they want to, like, get more people on their team. So.
And they spread it throughout Britain and Europe in, like, Muslim communities.
Jesus.
So, can't really say you don't support extremism, Saudi Arabia.
I mean, we all know Saudi Arabia is evil.
Listen to this.
This is, like, how they become evil. They get young people to, like, believe in this shit.
In 2010, BBC reported that 5,000 children in Britain were being taught from the official Saudi school curriculum with textbooks that showed how to chop off the hands of thieves. And
like in Aladdin.
These books were adopted by ISIS.
By the one and only.
By the
ISIS.
Islamic State.
Welcome to the stage.
They're so extreme that ISIS was like, I'll take 500 copies.
Oh my god.
So.
Oh my god. Saudi Arabia, what are you doing? How did you become this way?
Also, apparently, according to German intelligence, that charitable foundations linked to the governments of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kuwait had been funding extremist Salafist groups and activities in Germany for years.
What the fuck?
That's wild.
That's... Wow, wow, wow. Sorry, Rihanna.
Wow. Was that a Rihanna reference?
Yeah, that's really... I'm not a fan of that song, but I'm a fan of Rihanna.
So... Shit.
Wow, wow, wow. Wild thoughts. Isn't that how it goes? Cut that out.
So, what I'm curious about is, are we going to continue to support Saudi Arabia as an American country? Yes, we are. That is correct.
With an inflatable chicken as our leader?
So, according to Trump, Egypt's the new thing, which is crazy because Obama didn't acknowledge the current regime in Egypt, who's run by Al-Sisi or something like that. Honestly, I can't remember his name, but Mubarak's out.
Yeah, it is Al-Sisi.
He's been out for a minute. But Al-Sisi, so he's technically an illegitimate regime. Like, they kind of took power by taking power. There's no, like, democracy in how he came in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Obama didn't acknowledge that. the whole system.
He had a brain.
Because he was like, no, you can't come to the White House. But guess who invited him in the first 100 days in office?
The inflatable chicken!
Yeah, so the chicken invited him. The chicken was like, hey, buddy, look at me in my hair. Come on down to the White House.
Chicken has some great hair. Not Trump, though.
So
I like chicken's hair. But yeah.
That's happening. But apparently they're like, they're hardcore power playing right now. Egypt's apparently the new thing. That's why they opened up that skiing resort
thing.
Is that why
Aladdin was an Egyptian?
Yeah, it's all connected.
Oh my God.
It's all connected.
Black Mirror episode. But something, can we talk about this illegal dancing that happened in Saudi Arabia? A pop star was arrested for illegal dancing in Saudi Arabia because dabbing is taboo. The popular dance move, dabbing.
Yeah,
taboo.
You may have seen it. It's like when you put both your arms up and then your head down.
Just look it up.
I'm an old person trying to describe a cool young dance.
Dabbing.
So anyway, Abdallah,
your arms up.
Abdallah Al-Shahrani I keep wanting to say Israeli. I don't know why. Saudi Arabian pop star. He was arrested for dabbing on stage at a festival.
Because
everyone's like,
ridiculous?
Oh my God.
Because it's, that dance move was taboo and it was recently banned in Saudi Arabia. Like, Saudi Arabia is so stupid and fucked up that they banned a harmless dance move. Like, what is that gonna do for your youth? Like,
That's like when you have that friend who just has so much time on their hands, or just like fucking around with stupid shit, and you're literally like, get a job.
Yeah,
that's what, like, I want to tell all those Saudi police, like, get a job. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Get a job. Like a real job.
Like, why are these laws, like real laws that are happening? It's like, oh, this one dance move where your arms are in the air, taboo. Like, what if the Macarena was taboo? Like, that's absurd. That's absurd.
Macarena should be taboo. I find it incredibly offensive.
Okay, well.
Okay, but here's the thing. The National Commission for Combating Drugs banned the dance move, which, here's a correct description. It involves someone nodding their head toward one of their folded elbows with both arms pointed in the same direction. They determine this emphasizes drugs in everyday modern music culture.
But the worst part is, the pop star, he apologized.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was so in the moment, I dabbed.
Yeah, he, in quotes, unintentionally and spontaneously did the dance move at the festival, and he's so sorry. Like,
and look,
like,
we've all been there. We've all spontaneously dabbed.
No.
It's just, I've actually never dabbed.
Me either. I was gonna say it, but I didn't want to be uncool.
Not to show our ages, but we've never dabbed.
No.
I have dabbed, if you know what I mean, but I've never dabbed, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shereen has no idea what I'm talking about. Okay.
I'm not that lame. I've dabbed.
Some more Saudi Arabia news. So, the new Saudi Arabian Airlines refuses to fly passengers who show their arms and legs.
Whoa, what do you know? Saudi Arabia strikes out again. What?
Do we need to say more than that?
Also, in that case, Melania Trump and Ivanka Trump wouldn't have been able to fly because they showed their little ankles and their legs. So, why?
Their little ankles.
Okay, I just...
So the restrictions apply to women exposing legs or arms or wearing too thin or too tight clothes, and men wearing shorts exposing legs, as well as passengers who are barefoot, which when the fuck do they go to the airport barefoot? Like,
they've covered everything. Also, why? What about men wearing tight things? Why is only...
Well, here's the thing. I read this whole thing. They're like, look, don't you want to be comfortable? Tight clothes aren't comfortable. Which is like... What are you even reasoning? Why don't you just say you're a fucking religious ass fucking bullshit airline and you don't want no fucking bullshit on your planes? Like, stop trying to hide behind some shit. Just be like, look, as a country, we believe in some bullshit, so you have to follow that bullshit if you want to get on our planes.
What they're quoted with saying that they want to ban people that are clothed in a manner that would cause discomfort or offense to other passengers.
Well,
your clothes can offend other people and make other people uncomfortable.
Well, they got in trouble in the past for seating people weird. Like, certain men would have to start with, like, it was really weird, like, how
like
they would seat people. Yeah,
separate?
They would, like, segregate, but then, like, random men would have to sit with, like, random wives, and, like, a bunch of dudes got very upset about that. Yeah.
God. Yeah.
Oh, also, this is the most amazing thing I've ever read. So Saudi Arabia, like, runs the oil game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our hashtag oil boy Tillerson was out there.
Hashtag oil boy.
But
that's why also America supports Saudi Arabia, because they have oil and that means money.
Yeah.
And until that stops, then Trump is going to suck Saudi Arabia's dick.
Like, deep throat.
Deep throat. Like, choking on it.
But on top of that, here's the best thing in the world. It's not great, actually. It's not the best thing in the world. But I found it because I was going deep. You know one of my favorite websites?
The deep web?
My nose is running.
What else is new?
That's been a serious theme within these shows, is I am always looking for a place to wipe my nose.
Here, napkins right here.
Oh. I can't see them. They're blocked.
No, my nose is always runny, too. I don't know. It's because both of our moms told us to cover our hair when it was wet, and we both didn't listen.
Yeah, I left the house with wet hair today. Yeah.
Oh, that... Our moms tried to warn us.
They always fucking know. Okay. So Saudi Arabia is trying to debilitate, well, for years they've been trying to debilitate Iran's economy mm-hmm. by, like, fucking with oil prices. And, so the price of oil as a commodity or any other commodity, it's regulated through supply and demand. It's very easy to understand. Maybe
Welcome
it's not.
Welcome to economy class.
But basically they can fuck with the price of oil by putting, like, doubling the amount of oil they put out and then keeping the prices the same, which really just kind of, like, fucks up the whole system. Mm-hmm. So that would fuck with Iran's whole economy because they would lose jobs. There was, like, no, you know, it was a whole thing. But while they were doing this, they completely fucked Venezuela over.
Yeah.
Like, so badly. And so, you know, Venezuela right now is not doing great because, just mismanagement of oil wealth, and Hugo Chavez, their former president, was a piece of shit, and their current person leader Nicolas Maduro is just a criminal. I don't know, it's just like there's just like a con man
exactly.
running the country. So that entire country is falling apart, and it's low-key because of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild.
Yeah,
it's like when I read that, I was like, that's crazy.
The economic crisis in Venezuela, I'm reading from this article, what's going on in Venezuela, and they're talking about the economic crisis in South America in general. The economic crisis in South America is the unintended consequences of Saudi Arabia's policy to keep oil prices deliberately low for political reasons. Like, that's, you're fucking over so many people. So many, like, innocent people because you're fucking, like, greed.
It's, yeah, no, they don't give a shit.
It's upsetting.
So
yeah, so the worst affected country out of all of the South American countries is Venezuela, and it's because it's the most oil dependent state in the whole world.
Like, how crazy is that? That Saudi Arabia has that much power.
That's sad.
Like, Venezuela's like out.
No idea that Venezuela was the most oil dependent state in the world, and like everything is connected. Like, you think like oil in the Middle East doesn't have anything to do with like the rest of the world, but like no, you can fuck over like. And then, like, most of an entire continent. So it's like, what? Oh my god.
All
oil
right.
accounts for 96% of exports and more than 40% of government revenues in Venezuela. So when that is going down, everyone else goes down, which is kind of sad. Jobs and the price of things. And
that's a lot of good stuff going on out there.
What is life?
I feel very positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a good note. Good note.
I want to do a new segment called This Week in Iran, which... God, I'm going to get so fucked when I go to Iran next. I have, like, a very intense fear of when next time I go to Iran, I'm going to be arrested and held in solitary confinement.
But now that you've thought it won't
happen. As a political bargaining tool. What?
Now that you've thought it won't happen.
Oh, that's not how that works.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, let's talk about Iran a little bit.
So they banned two soccer players who were like really ballin' soccer players from ever playing in like the National League again because they played against an Israeli.
Ouch. Good intentions, but extreme.
The Israel-Iran feud is so crazy.
Crazy, at times hilarious.
Like, Iran's like, you even look at an Israeli, he will never enter this country again.
You think he plays sports? Like, not anymore.
So, what are their names? Masoud Sholjai, 33 years old, who is captain of the national team, which is a tough gig to get. I don't know about you. And Ehsan Haji Safi, who's 27. Some of Iran's most promising players. They played for the Greek club team. Oh, boy, that's a word I can't say. Penny no yo-yos. Okay.
Nice try.
And they played a home game against Maccabi Tel Aviv from Israel. And so their careers are over. Yeah. I reckon, here's the thing.
I mean, at the same
Ehsan
time.
Ehsan Masoud, if you're listening, I recommend you trying to get that visa, which you probably won't get because you're from Iran. But maybe, like, here's what you do. Here's what you do.
Okay, lay it out.
So, here's what you do. You go, you take a car. You drive to Turkey.
Copy.
Are they connected? Not, I can't even remember.
They're not.
I think they are.
Not,
yes, they
not,
are.
Not immediately.
It's a side of Turkey touches the northern Iran.
Is Iran that big?
Yeah, Iran's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what you do. You go into Turkey. Change your names.
Immediately.
Potentially be women. Yeah, that's cool.
Get
Turkey's
a haircut.
Chill. They're a little religious and they're probably the next Syria, but it'll be fine.
Get a haircut and or a wig.
Yes. Change your names. Get a visa through Turkey because Turkey's not banned yet. And then come to America. America's not going to send you back to Iran. I don't know. Maybe they will. I have. Here's the thing. My advice, not solid.
It can go either way. It can go either way. It can go really bad or really
go
good.
Into like, Hungary. Go to Europe.
Hungary.
Try and play Hungary. Is that the correct
No, it's just how it's spelled. It's just how it's spelled.
And then play in Europe and never go back to Iran.
I mean, at the same time.
That's so fucked up. Your career is over. Like, you could never go play in the World Cup with your fucking country.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked. But I did delete Waze off my phone because it's an Israeli app. Mm. So I kind of understand where they're coming from. I'm just kidding. It's fucked. It's fucked.
Oh, you side with them?
No, I'm kidding.
Wow. Here's the thing. If you ever use Waze, you're out. JK, I use it on the daily. I use
it. We talked about it before the podcast started. Yeah.
Also, ISIS is threatening to attack Iran again. But what's new?
Yeah.
They're going to attack Tehran and they're calling on young Iranians to rise up against their country. You know, Iran's kind of a very scary place if they want it to be. So, like, I don't know. Here's my advice. ISIS, if you're listening. I wouldn't fuck with Iran. You know, it doesn't seem like worth your time. Like, you're causing a lot of problems. And, like, one time my uncle yelled at me there and he was really scary. And, like, it's just not really worth it. Like, I don't know. I just don't think it's worth it. I don't, here's the thing. I'm terrified of Iran. And it is where I hail from. So, Islamic State.
Yeah.
Stop posting videos as well. Like, what? Here's the. You know what? I have a really interesting question. You know when they have, like, spokespeople for, like, terrorist groups?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you get that gig?
Are you interested?
No, I'm not interested, but I'm so curious because they'll be like, so-and-so, spokesperson for Hamas. And it's like, what is your resume? Like, I used to work for the, I started as an intern at the Muslim Brotherhood. And then I went, you know, I did a few years, at working at ISIS. That's really where I
was
found
an assistant
my...
to the founder of,
And it's like, now, you know, I got to accept the position of, spokesperson for Hamas.
Yeah,
or
it's
Muslim
going really
Brotherhood.
Great.
It's I don't
really
even know.
A lot of busy work. But,
yeah, you know, I'm very happy to be at Al-Qaeda now. Yeah. And it's like, what are we doing here? That it's okay for like
someone to be a spokesperson.
Yeah, like you have a gig. Like you have a gig. Does it come with health insurance? Like, what are we doing here? That's so frustrating.
Can we talk about Syria a little bit? Or are you
real quick? I want to talk about the Iran launched the some missiles. And
a successful launch of a missile.
So here's the thing. Trump hates this shit. Like, Trump is so pissed at Iran for doing anything missile-related. But what he doesn't seem to understand is that, like, what they're doing completely fits in the confines of the nuclear agreement that they made with Trump. So they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but America only wants America to have nuclear weapons.
True, but, like, he's against it, but Britain, China, France, Germany, and Russia all think it's totally okay, and they do not give a shit.
Yeah, because Trump is insane.
But Trump wants to withdraw, which would be really bad, because then it would fuck up all the sanctions that were removed from Iran, but now they want... it's a shit show.
And in June, Iran apparently launched six missiles that, were aimed at a Islamic State terrorist in Syria. So
who cares? That's all I can say about any of that. So anyway, like, who cares about any of this stuff? Nobody, because no one is talking about any of this stuff. Why are we even talking about it? Honestly,
Syria, this week in Syria, shit's still really sad. And the Syrian government, which is the bane of my existence and the worst thing in the world, they have been bombing de-escalation zones, which were previously deemed as safety zones. And so in this bombing, they killed a lot of civilians, and the Syrian army wanted to seize these rebel-held areas that were on the border with Jordan because they thought it was a threat, but really it's just they were safe zones. They were places where civilians were, their families, and it's nothing new, you know, just the Syrian government killing its people. Same old news.
You have to let go.
Anna, stop it, please. but just children and women were killed, and
Everyone dies in Syria.
It's hard to
talk about.
It's hard to talk about it. I don't know why I have a podcast where I need to talk about it, but I think it's good for me. And I think it's good for everyone else to be aware of what's going on. And
what are your thoughts on how we kill Bashar al-Assad?
Slow and painful.
No, but I mean, like, how do we get in there and how do we take him down?
This is like a dream for me. Like, I want so bad to be the one that kills him. And I know I won't. I mean, like, maybe.
You want to be like Mark Wahlberg in any movie he's in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to, like, infiltrate, like, go undercover, maybe, like, be his maid or something. And then, like, poison him. Like not, like, to kill him. Poison him to knock him out. And then take him to, like, another room where I just, like, beat the shit out of him and, like, kick him a lot. And then I can kill him. I guess I condone torture.
That's very romantic. That's a very, like, romantic view of how it would be done.
Because it's revenge.
If there was a movie about it, like, Angelina Jolie would play you.
I wouldn't mind that. You know, it's she's white, but I wouldn't mind. I love Angie. But it's like a revenge fantasy. I'm sure every Syrian has that fantasy, just an ultimate revenge fantasy for fucking the Bashar killing their families, killing and destroying their home and this beautiful place that was Syria. That's my ultimate revenge fantasy. Now you know.
You want to hear mine? I'm just joking. It has nothing to do with the Middle East. Should I just start dropping names? Here's who I want to fuck with. I think that's the end of this podcast.
Wait, really?
I'm kind of over it.
Wait, no, there was something else.
I want to talk about my excellence minute.
Oh, yeah, the excellence minute.
And then I want to end it on that.
Excellence minute.
Okay. So
our excellence corner. What are we calling
this? We're not calling it. I don't want it to be a corner.
Okay. Oh, that's true. You don't want to back someone up into it.
But excellence minute is good because we only really talk about it for like a minute anyway.
Okay, excellence minute!
So I want to talk about Shakhrat Mitalipov. He's a he was born in Kazakhstan. He is a, he is quite the motherfucker. He is he's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of the few researchers in the world to study a type of genetic manipulation, essentially cloning, in hopes of improving human health. So he works on the genome, the mitochondria that provide energy, and basically he's using that. Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah.
He's using that to help with fertility treatments, and he's using like monkeys to test them. Mm-hmm. And so they carry, each monkey carries three. Okay, let me rephrase that. Each monkey carries genes from three different parents instead of two, because they were conceived using like gene therapy. And then they, basically, they watch them really closely to see if they can reproduce and have normal children or normal, healthy children. So it's called the three-parent fertilization technique.
Whoa.
And it's wild. It's like helps like women with genetic glitches to have like really healthy babies and children.
Dude.
Yeah.
The same approach.
So it might help freshen
eggs. It says the same approach might also someday provide older women with a chance to extend their fertility by freshening up their eggs with contributions from another woman.
Yeah, so basically they can, like,
pump
your egg up.
Wait, does that mean it's her egg? Like, the other woman's egg?
So you would take another woman's egg and basically, like, morph it with that egg and, like, make it a strong egg.
But is it still your genes, though? Like, or like if you have blue eyes and the other woman has brown eyes, does your kid have...
I guess it depends which one's recessive and which one's dominant. I took a biology class once.
That's insane.
Yeah, so this dude is basically doing all that, and he's from Kazakhstan, and he's pretty cool.
We got some smarties.
So I want to shout him out, because he's pioneering a new way of making life. And he hasn't started doing it with people yet. That's why they're testing with monkeys, because, like... Shit gets sketchy if something goes wrong.
But he's the son of two teachers, and he was born in Kazakhstan, and then
Kazakhstan.
Was
made famous by the great film Borat.
Oh yeah, Oscar winning. But it was then part of the Soviet bloc, and so then he studied in Moscow. And his first research lab was the only one in Moscow studying embryonic stem cells. Back when the field was like minuscule. So it's pretty amazing that he's, like, come this far. He's quoted as saying, "You don't want to say my science will help 100 years from now, but maybe it will. And I want it while I'm here."
Yeah, he works at the Center for Embryonic Cell and Gene Therapy at the Oregon Health and Science University. So shout out to you. Your name is tough to say. Okay.
Yeah.
So cool.
We ended on a good note.
That's a nice up after all that weird, sad Saudi Arabia, Iran, Syria stuff.
Yeah.
We really kill it in this podcast.
Oh, do you think so?
I don't know, but we should
be positive.
Yeah, we're trying to stay positive. It's definitely tough.
But thank you for sticking with us, and
we promise to do better research for the next episodes.
We've been going through some stuff, and
I have.
Thank you for.
I just landed back in America, so I'm a little stale.
I'm just stale.
I apologize for that.
I think we did good, you know?
Yeah, I think we made something out of nothing.
Which is what we always do.
Yeah.
So yeah, stick around for next week's episode that comes out in a week. So don't stick around to the post.
Just sit still.
Just sit completely still
until that one
don't
drops.
Don't move a muscle. Like that movie Secretary with Maggie Gyllenhaal and what's his name? Not Kevin Spacey. What's his name? Have you ever seen that movie Secretary where it's like kind of BDSM-y, but like he tells her not to move and she doesn't move from the desk and she ends up peeing herself?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Holy shit, Matt. Cut that out. Just kidding. Matt's not even in here anymore. Yeah. So are you going to bite that ass?
I'd bite that ass.
Thank you.
Bye.